Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we have a friend of mine coming onto the podcast. His name is Mohammad Reza. I've known him since I first moved to New York City over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was my first boss. This interview that we just had with him, he kind of takes us a little bit through the journey of how he got to New Jersey from Indonesia and what drives his creativity. Mm-hmm. And also what is behind his personality that people that, you know, like me that know him, think so highly of him.
To have everybody be able to glean some wisdom from him on just staying curious in life and how that adds up to a fulfilling life. And just basically, listening to him, it was so lovely for him to just share how he operates in the world. And he's so kind and he has such a like calming presence.
I remember once Roger and I were talking once and we were like, all right, people throw around the word genius a lot. Is there anybody in your world that you would say really you think is a genius? And I have thought that about Mo. I said, Mo is the person that I think is a genius.
I can see that. The unassuming genius.
The unassuming genius. Yeah. I mean, when he mentions that I taught toy design at FIT. And I was like, oh yeah, that was the toy design period.
I know. But he's so casual the way he mentions what he just likes to do. I loved everything about this interview. So I hope everybody enjoys it as much as we did.
Hi.
Where is Mo going to be when he calls? Is he going to be in a studio? Because every time I see you, you're just surrounded in a place that's covered in art.
Well, this is my office.
In your house?
Yeah.
That's a big office. I love it. This is my office in my house. It's pretty big, I'd say. You know,
I think that's great.
Okay. Size. What this about is my office? Yeah, that's enough. There's not much depth here. Hi. Nice to meet you, Mo.
You?
You know what? You guys have actually met before.
Yes.
A couple of years ago at a party at my house, you came and you met Rachel for a brief minute. You were with
for the 50th anniversary. Was it?
Roger's birthday.
Yeah. First of all, welcome, Mo, to the podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I want to know how you ended up in New Jersey. I do know that let's tell people, first of all, how we know each other. We worked together in it. How many years ago was that, Mo?
God, over...
It's not 30.
No, 20 at least.
At least 20 years ago, yeah. You were the first... Okay, so I started working with you, I think, 2 months after I moved to New York City. Right. I was here. And then I started working at WNET, and you were the art director at the new media department. This was like before Amazon, before all of that stuff was happening.
Because it was still new media.
It was new media. Right. The beginning. Yeah. It was the beginning of the web.
It was the beginning of the web. I mean, we were building websites that were like tiny.
Exactly.
I don't know why I want to say this, but I remember the page load could not be more than 150K. I think you were in Hoboken.
Yes.
Tell us your journey from Hoboken and then we'll catch back up on how we met.
Well, I came to New Jersey. I came here to study English because I wanted to apply. I wanted to apply to college and get my degree. But I don't speak English. So there is an advertisement in Jakarta, in Indonesia, come study English in New York.
I would be like, yes.
And you know, the school is actually in East Orange, New Jersey. They didn't tell you that you're gonna have to take, you know, decal bus number 66 for, you know, 30 minutes to get to the city.
False advertising.
But actually it's really good because you know, Jersey is much more interesting than New York back then in terms of, for somebody who came in from Indonesia, your image of America, either a Texas where cowboy move, you know, Arizona where I watched all this cowboy movie, Western movie growing up, or big city like New York, right? But never understanding of what America looked like is New Jersey.
Yeah.
So when I landed in East Orange, I was like, I went ballistic. I went all over the place walking, not knowing that it was a dangerous place at that time.
How old were you? Yeah. And did you come by yourself?
Yeah, I came by myself. So I already have a degree in Indonesia, industrial design. I wanted to come here for my master's degree in industrial design. I was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then I arrived here. My English school was in Uppsala College, no longer existing.
Mm.
I stayed there for a month or two before I was introduced to school in Mammoth, in Long Branch, Mammoth University, mm-hmm. at that time, Mammoth College. And they have a tour. They took me there for a campus tour and took me to computer graphic labs. At that time, computer graphics just started. And, yeah. you know, they have just received grant from AT&T and they have all this new machine and they have no students yet. And they show the machine with all the software, you know, very, very low resolution software. But at that time, it was very impressive. And so I want to study that instead.
That's so cool. So that's amazing that you were able to make your way just, you know, being so flexible and open-minded to say, okay, I'll take a tour and there are no students, but I'll be your first.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing is one. They say it's like, and I asked, you know, I haven't taken TOEFL test yet. Like the,
right.
And he said, well, we don't really need TOEFL for arts, you know, department.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you lucked out. You just,
yeah, kinda... all you need to show us is your portfolio. And I brought my portfolio from Indonesia and I went for an interview and they accepted me. And then there you go. It started from there.
You
and
know, then, by the way, I think that that's like a thing, you know, a lot of times, like when people tell you how to do things, it's very like systematic. You have to do this. But if you're actually present and there, you yeah. sometimes find other ways to do it. You know, that there's,
right.
it's just an interesting
we
way.
Have, that- you're right, Jeanette, on this podcast and people we've met over the year that we've been doing it, a lot of entrepreneurs, it's just step by step, being in the moment and going for it and being open to the opportunity in front of you mm-hmm. rather than following a prescribed path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know it a little bit, but you deviate and it's things yeah. are possible. But one thing I want to talk about is your portfolio mm-hmm. that you brought from Indonesia. I remember you telling me a story years ago, and I, you know, probably don't have it correct now, but I remember asking you how you got so good at drawing because you draw very intricately and very, very well. And I you told me that when you were a kid, and correct the story, that you saw a kid that was somebody was drawing really, really well.
Oh, yeah. tell the story.
Tell the story.
Now, I was lucky because I have a neighbor who's very, very talented. And we were in the same school from kindergarten all the way to when I moved to a special core lab school. But in elementary school, I'm next to him all the time, impressed how he can draw really fast, really. He's really, really good. And so that's what pushed me. All I have to do is like copy everything he does.
Yeah. Copy him, right? You copied what he did. Yep. And I think you told me that your goal was to get better than him.
Yeah.
And then one day you were better.
Yeah.
I just
copied. Like I saw the way he draw legs and arm and hands and all. I'm sure by that time he was still not as good at, you know, trained artist, but still I was very impressed and I just copy everything. And that is my method actually up until now. If I wanted to learn something, I just copy
yeah.
things.
Well,
that's art. I think that happens a lot in art school mm-hmm. and art history. I loved art history class and I took in college. And we were copying. We'd go to the museum and sit and sketch in front of a beautiful masterpiece. And I thought, is this illegal? Like, are you allowed to do this? And they're like, that's what we do. That's what everyone does. And same with writing or anything else. It's like, try to write in this style and then it helps you get better and develop your own style.
Yeah.
until you make it your own. Yeah. I'm just curious a little bit about your background because I don't know anyone really quite like you. You have a drive and an ability to be incredibly creative, adapt, learn new technologies constantly. I mean, that's one of the things with you is why I think I was so lucky to be, you know, you were my mentor. I know some of your siblings are also creative. Is there something in your family's background that led you all to that?
I think my mom is a very creative and artistic person, though she's, you know, never trained and never really do art, but she make crochet, she saw, always making things, always occupying herself. She's married to government official, my dad, and that means actually work for the government as well. It means you have to go and do this all events and have some organization. But during her time where she's not doing that, she's taking care of her family, but she also have time to be creating stuff, always in a sewing machine, in her garden or whatever it is, making stuff. I think that's.
And then when it's made, is everyone just excited about it? And is like, you know, that's the thing, is to produce and create something and that brings fulfillment. Like, oh my gosh, look at this thing that you made.
What we saw is not the celebration of her creation. We never really see her work. We saw her making stuff. We never really, sometimes we ate dinner and we realized that my mom just finished a tablecloth, right? But it wasn't like, oh, this is so amazing. It wasn't never like that. I think my process of creation is really enjoying the making itself. Mm-hmm. Creation, just like the process of getting something out of your head through your hand or whatever. My brother is a filmmaker through the way he directs things and never really have preciousness on the results of the creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The process.
I practice that now. I make art and I just put it out there in the street, right? I actually do hand-painted street wheat paste original and put it out there. So when it's there, it's gone.
Talk about that. Okay, so just so that people understand about you and your artistic journey is that you work in many mediums. You don't just, I met you under the digital medium, right? Where you were, you know, you could draw, everyone could see, like you'd sketch stuff out for us all the time. We all knew that you were an illustrator beyond, so incredible. But then you would go and you do digital work for our projects. And now over the years, every new medium that has come out, I see you doing it. Like you were the NFTs. I was like, what are you doing, Mo? Like you're doing all the NFTs. You're doing everything there is, any digital, any VR, any photography is one of your great talents. You do street photography. And I remember there was a period you were doing boxing photography. And I love that period of the boxing photography that you were doing. And I remember you told me that you were going to, as you got older, you were going to do painting.
Again, I think I enjoy learning something new, discovering what different kind of art I can produce with this new knowledge I have. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the more you do things, the better you are. Right. I wanted to learn something about NFT, and the only way I need to the fastest way to learn about it is to actually do it. So I did it. When I'm done, it's gone, but something about it left with me. But you
carry that knowledge with you to the next.
Carry the feeling or the happiness that I've had when that the satisfaction that I've learned something new, and then the kind of muscle memory of creating something like that. It's still with me. That's why I think the way I'm creating art and putting it out there right now is kind of the same thing in terms of the product. When I create, I don't do one. So my industrial design training is always when you try, we are trained to, when you make something, you need to figure out how you can make 100 of it.
Yes.
Right? That's so I did apply that to my art. So when I make something, when I learn something new, and in order to learn that, you need to make something, I make a lot of them at the same time.
Because you have to be able to reproduce it.
Yes.
Many times. Yep.
Yes. And then that's why I like about, and when I discovered street art, which is just about recently, the beginning of pandemic, when I went to the city, I said, all the street art, because of the boarded up window of the city, and people are not afraid being chased by a cop at that time. It was going like crazy, right? And it's like, I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of artwork just stacked, like laying around. So I just took all of those and pasted them on the wall. Very satisfying taking picture of it, and it's gone, or either covered. And also it tells me that, yeah, I'm not just saying it when I say I'm not precious about my work, because if you put it out there and somebody just painted over it, in the beginning you have to get used to it. If you're like, oh man, I just put that up yesterday, it's like,
it's gone.
Now it's just like, even
part
if,
of the process.
Even if nobody actually seen it.
Well, okay, let me talk about one piece that I can remember that you had posted. It was like a beetle, right? I think it was a huge beetle that you did that was, I don't remember what subway stop, I want to say it's downtown.
Second Avenue.
Okay, so Second Avenue, it looked like you really put a lot into that.
Those are a rotating wall. They usually have either 2 weeks or 1 month, and I got the 1 month one.
Oh, so. I didn't realize that. So you kind of book it, you know?
Yeah. You put your name on the list. So this was long. I have to wait for a year for that.
Really?
Who
handles the graffiti list?
The legit graffiti list.
The owner of the property assigned it to a curator that, curator knows a lot. So you have to be in the community to know who's the curator.
Yeah.
And in order to be in a community, you have to get up quite a lot knowing the people. And then you know who is the list holder, and you talk to them and you see if they can put you on the list. And they say, oh, yeah, I have a, November next year. I say, I'll take it.
It's like a doorman to a club. You're like,
yes.
Yeah.
You got to be in the know.
I think that is one thing I just recently learned about being art, because I pay a lot of attention now. Oh, by the way, when I told Jeanette that I wanted to be a painter, that was the beginning of my 10-year plan.
Yes. Well, I wanted to ask you about that, because when you say you want to be a painter, but later, how do you know that in your mind you want to be a painter, but you wouldn't want to start today, but you want to start later?
Yeah, because when I say I wanted to be a painter, I want it to be sustainable. It means I know a lot of painters are, I don't want to be a starving artist, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. You need to plan. The reason why I picked 10 years then is by 10 years from then, is that's the time my youngest son will be graduated from college.
Ah.
And that is the time when I really would love to stop working full time.
So you mean a painter in all of its meaning, like not just that you paint, but that it can sustain you.
Yes. Professional, okay. Sustainable artist.
I get you.
And I calculated, I this 10,000 flight.
Have 10,000 hours to be great at it. Yeah.
I calculated. If I wanted to get those, I need to put about 3 hours or 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And in order to get those 10,000 hours, that is 10 years.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That's as much I can put to work so many, to be able to be a sustainable artist. I have to know the business. I have to know the marketing of myself. Mm-hmm. I have to build body of work. I have to really know how to sell. 10 years from 4 years ago, yep. 5, 6 more years, maybe there's no more gallery. Maybe still gallery. But you need to learn this, right? You need to know to be part of the net community. You have to build network. All of those need me to put time in it.
Yeah. And I know you're doing sculpting now, right? That, like, where did that come from? I've been looking at your sculpting work. Like, I'm almost going to tell you that I think it's one of my favorite mediums of yours.
Wait, I can't. Where can I see your sculpture? When I Googled before we did
it's
our
so
interview,
much.
I looked at your the paintings that were on the Montclair Art Studio. And those alone, I could have a 10-hour conversation with to try and ask you questions about.
Yeah. I have I'm an Instagram person. So
oh, good.
I just recently took ceramic in the city. I took a class taught by this really talented young person, Iselina Minjong, and she does this huge characters with clay. She, working with clay, you have to do a lot of force, you know, compression and all of this. It requires a lot of strength. And I was so impressed with that. I took a class with her and I just
took off. Just ignited something in
Well, so you've been doing these sketches of your, you know, kind of evolving of the characters that you really like to use. And I believe that they, as you have said before, that you'd like to work with your, you know, Indonesian past moving forward and bringing the two. And you've been doing these sculptures and then you have like something on their head. You know, and I think I wrote, you know, is this series called, you know, What's on Your Mind? And I think it's become that series is What's on Your Mind. So there's these incredible sculptures that you're doing with some different animal or a bird or a, you know, a horse or something on their head. And they're just so great. So I know that you had a period of 3D printing that you did. That was like when 3D printing came out, Mo was there, right? He was like doing all these 3D printing. So is this part, are you using 3D printing to do any of this? Or is this all just old crafts, old clay
crafts? All hand craft for that one.
It's interesting how your art aesthetic is moving to traditional, you know, it's all becoming back
new to media to old media.
But this is very interesting also because when I study in Indonesia, a lot of as an industrial designer, a lot of our work are done, you know, using wooden, metal, all these things. You have to actually use your hand to learn how to use the manual tool. And I came to the United States because I wanted to learn how to use the
CAD. Yeah.
Right? And I was introduced to computer graphics saying, I can use that to help me build and design something. So it's the same thing when what I'm doing right now is I'm back to using my hand, which is very familiar. It's just almost like bicycle. Now I know how to actually mold things. But then the way I'm doing it right now is I make simple, this is my sculpture from now to the future. I do very simple shape, not detail, nose, eyes, some lump up here that could be a cow or could be a pig or whatever it is, right? Four legs. And I scan them using my iPhone. There's many of this app now that can scan, have LiDAR that can scan not just the photo, the image of it, but the dimension of it. And it generates a three-dimensional model of it, but very crude. I'll take that to sculpting tools in iPad and I make it sharp. I put all of the detail, but from one scan, I can generate three or four variations of the sculpture. One with maybe a cow, an elephant, I just make it bigger. But it's all hand manually carved in digital world. And I'm saving all of those. Eventually, I wanted to be able to print them in 3D. Instead of printing one sculpture, I'm going to print one and create a mold with silicone and then create multiple sculpture out of it, like multiple. Again, this is just all the industrial design coming up.
Totally. I'm listening to the industrial engineer right there.
Then what happened is again, like what Jeanette says, is with the product, people is like, how do you do that?
Yeah. Everything you do, everything I see, it's always like, how did he do that? And you almost always know there was like seven different mediums involved.
It's like, Mo, you have a toolbox from your entire history of being on this planet. And then you add one at another one each time. But you never lose all the other ones that you have. So you're always using everything in your toolbox to create and realize whatever vision you have at the moment.
Yes.
And that's where you keep going. It's amazing.
And the cool thing about it is that all the tools that is available is just a modern version of the old tools.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. But I like how you use them both. It's not like you've abandoned the old versions. You can use them both to help each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about the whole art part of your life, but there's also something else that I wanted to get into about your personality. You're very much a teacher and a mentor to people. You're really motivated. You believe in people. And I also don't feel like you're ever insecure about your abilities. And I just want to know, where do you think all that comes from?
About teaching, I learned a while back, I don't really learn from where the source of it, but I've heard this many times about teacher. Mm-hmm. First of all, I realized how important teachers are and how they need to be held so high up there. Because when I came here to the United States, I see how teacher or professor are not treated respectfully as I was treating my teacher or we were treating our teacher in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Teachers were God, right? Like their words are law in the classroom. When I was in elementary school, if your hair is too long, teacher can come in to you with scissor and cut him. And we will just accept that, right? Like, teacher.
You're like, okay, yeah, you're good. Okay, and, sorry
and
about that.
I came here, I went to a class in college, and I saw my classmate have their feet up on the table in front of it. And I was like, in Indonesia, you will not be walking out of the
You have no feet after that, yeah.
Exactly, right? So I say like, wow, this is just amazing how different it and. Yeah. It is. And this, and also one thing I learned is in I think it's in maybe this is a Muslim teaching about the compounding karma. If you teach somebody good, you got good karma from teaching that person, mm-hmm. right? But if that person teach another person, mm-hmm. now you double your karma. Mm-hmm. If you teach the whole classroom, 10 people, 20 people, and every single good thing those 20 people make, you get the karma. Mm. Any one of those 10 people teach another 10, now you have 100.
So compounding.
I like
just
that.
Keep on going mm-hmm. on going. That's why I love teaching. I'm just like, if I teach you something and you do something good about this, or somebody you teach somebody and you do, I will get all of those stream of good karma coming.
Well, I mean, I think that's been proven in so many different ways that is a true one of those fundamental truths that if you help someone, you feel better. If you're giving to others, you always feel better. It helps you. It's always, it just passes that positive, feeling not only to them, but back at you,
Yeah. And then the third thing is that I learn that I learn better if I teach somebody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, always.
New about what I'm teaching from teaching somebody.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is great energy. I taught for 8 years at FIT Toy Design. I was so tired at the end of the day. I went to my, and it was just the energy from the kid, young people just perked me up. And I continue to have new ideas. Mm-hmm. Helping them coming up with new ideas. So those are all the things that just the experience of it, I guess. I think by now it's just part of my
habit. It's the way you are. You're the way you are.
I was going to say, and also, how do you think you have, maintained a confidence or a trust in yourself to try? Just keep trying so many different mediums and not be afraid to fail or, just.
Right. Yeah. And is there a medium that you cannot do? Because I have not.
Because Jeanette wants to know.
Because even your YouTube channel, I haven't looked at it in years, and I looked at it and it's 25 million views on one of the videos. And I'm like, what is it that he cannot do?
Nothing.
Anything with math, unfortunately.
Oh, Okay, now we
I don't
know.
Believe that, because if you're an industrial engineer, I don't believe it.
I were not able to read until I was really late, like maybe in my third or fourth grade. Uh-huh. And it's one day, it's just, whoop, I can read suddenly. Huh. There's something in my brain just, you know, blocking and boom. I was suffering. I was copying people. I was like, I know I was terrible because I could not read. Huh. And then one day I was trying, but it's not that I didn't try. I was
no, you tried. Right.
Do. So I really hope there is a time when quantum mechanics or, you know, astrophysics is just like.
Yeah. It's going to happen, Mo. Yeah. If it's going to happen to anyone, it's going to happen to you. You've learned so many different tools. They're all going to meld and it's going to be like a
bam.
Yeah.
I have the answer to the universe.
Yep. And just let us know when you get the answer to the universe.
You have many things you're curious about. Yeah. And I think also one of the things that I always have been impressed with you, because I don't necessarily have this, I'm always been impressed with anybody that has this, is the energy that you have.
I've been blessed that everything that I need to do and I have to do is something that I love to do. Mm-hmm. It's just blend together. Work, mm-hmm. travel for work. I just, you know, if I have to travel to San Francisco for a meeting, I brought my art and I put it up there and bring my camera. There's always something that I love to do that I can incorporate to the things that I have to do.
Ah, that's wonderful. So it's not siloed. I think a lot of Americans silo things into this is my hobby and this is my job and never the twain shall meet.
Yeah, no, that's completely connected. Yeah.
No, it's all connected. Everything that I do. So I divided my day because I have a responsibility to the company that I work for, part of the culture of the company, but I also make culture around me. It has always been a blessing that I work for the company that able to accommodate me accommodating them.
Mo, it has been a pleasure to hear your story.
Amazing.
Do you have any shows that you would like to promote or anything?
Thursday, I'll be doing a live painting in 41st Street in by Port Authority to celebrate Asian American Heritage.
Great.
It's organized by a group called a Museum of Urban Arts.
And we also like to ask if there's anything that you absolutely love about New Jersey, a place,
and recommend.
Person, or recommend.
My town, Leonia.
Okay.
Leonia, it's like very close to the city. I love it here. Great community of artists. We have a lot of artists living on it. Yeah, Leonia is the largest, has the largest population oboe player in the country.
What? Really?
Yeah, and it has been an art community since the early 1900s.
Yeah, wait, I was the surprised. Largest. I need to go back a second.
Yeah,
the largest community of oboe players in the country.
Well, yeah, because.
Yes. What do they do with that? I mean, is there an oboe festival?
Well, there's a lot of musicians who play in the city. They live here and oboe play.
That would be so cool, though. My brother used to play the oboe, and I play in symphonies, so I love the oboe. But there's usually only one or two max in a symphony, so that'd be so cool to have an oboe festival. I would love that. It's such a cool instrument.
Well, I played the bass clarinet in eighth grade. I sat next to the oboe. So I feel like I'm connected.
You're part of the family.
If you come to New Jersey, you'll be an honorary.
Yeah.
You're a reed person.
I also like Asbury Park. It's hip and happy right now. A lot of arts going on there. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mo, for being on the podcast. And I can't wait to
see your work,
share your work.
Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure to be able to share.
Well, thank you so much for sharing everything with us, Mo. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mo.
Have a good day. This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Afsharian. please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.